What's up, y'all? It's Drewski, and I've teamed up with Mountain Dew to produce a hilarious new basketball podcast called The Dew Zone with Drewski. Learn the backstories of your favorite ballers and celebrities like Jamal Murray.
Did you have like a favorite team? Was it the Raptors at the time or no? Was the Raptors even started around that time?
Come on, bro.
I ain't that old, fam. You're talking like I'm 50.
Taylor Rooks, Asia Wilson, and many more. You won't want to miss this. Listen to The Dew Zone with Drewski on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you listen to podcasts.
What's up, guys? Red Nation News Podcast. My name is Salman Ali at Red Nation Hoops on Twitter. Here joined by Kyle Chilik at Kyle. No, what's your Twitter handle?
K_Chili22.
Okay, that's what it is. You got the most complicated one at everybody.
Yeah, that was a bad idea.
Also joined by Taylor Pate, writes for RedNationHoops.com and is our resident senior citizen.
You can find me at your local geriatric office or something.
I gotta say, man, like when we planned to call at 10 o'clock, like I was worried, like I thought you'd fall asleep by now. Like this is like,
I'm surprised I'm not asleep, man. Yeah.
You know, I know old people, they go to bed early and like they just like I feel like you'd be like done, you'd be knocked out by 6 p.m I was worried
back in my day.
Yeah, exactly. So All-Star weekend is here. Are you guys excited? Are you guys looking forward to anything?
Hopefully the dunk contest will be cool. The 3-point contest is always the best part of the weekend, though. All-Star game's garbage.
Yeah, make the dunk contest great again.
Well, see, it was great 2 years ago with Aaron Gordon and our guy down in Chicago.
Zach LaVine.
Aaron Gordon and Zach LaVine made it awesome. And then there was just this gap. Like they didn't capitalize on it. Aaron Gordon should have came back last year. That was like, was he hurt? Is that what it was?
I think he got hurt right before the dunk contest.
Yeah,
that's unfortunate. And Zach LaVine didn't come back either. He was perfectly healthy too. I think
we had like Derek Jones Jr. and just random people.
Yeah, Victor Oladipo or something. I don't know. It was just I wasn't a fan of it. But in general, I'm a fan of All-Star Weekend. The 3-point contest, it's awesome every year. I like how they changed the skills challenge up like 2 years ago. Like before, it was garbage. Like everybody was going at half speed. But when they made it bigs versus smalls, it became so much more intriguing. And yeah, I mean the dunk contest is a toss up every year. I mean they have a strong field this year. I gotta say though, it's like they got Aaron Gordon. Well, Aaron Gordon, is he hurt again?
No, I think he's in it.
Yeah.
Okay. Aaron Gordon, Dennis Smith Jr., Victor Oladipo. It's a decent field this year. Like Larry Nance Jr. So I mean, like I'm a little bit more excited this year. It's always a hit or miss because everything's been done. Like everything that you'd expect. Like I guess guys have to start like drinking Sprite in the air since it's like a Sprite slam dunk contest. Like they have to. They have to start doing different stuff.
That well was eventually going to dry up. I mean, there's only so many things that are physically, you know, possible.
Well, I mean, I got to say, Aaron Gordon and Zach LaVine really brought out some stuff. They did stuff I've never seen. That was by far the best All-Star dunk contest I've ever seen in my life. It wasn't even, and I've seen the Vince Carter one. This was like, in terms of pure competition, the back and forth, nothing is better than that.
Yeah, that was a special one.
Yeah, and we got to see everyone's live reactions to that. That was great. And like I remember, like Harden, Andrew Wiggins, and like a bunch of guys were sitting on the sidelines, like all freaking out. Well, I'm intrigued that they changed the format up this year. I know a lot of people are down on it, but I genuinely believe the guys are going to make it competitive this year. Because, Chris Paul called Adam Silver after last year's All-Star game talking about how it was just garbage, man. Like, it's like Steph Curry laid down on the floor in the middle of the game. Like, it was complete trash. Like, it's just become this 3-point contest / dunk contest. Like, it's not even like nobody plays defense. And like this year they changed it up, and I'm a fan of how they did it. Like, they could have capitalized on some things a little bit better, like making the draft televised, or you know, making it so it's east and west like don't exist, like remove the conferences, let's get the best 24 guys in, whatever. I mean, like, they did something this year. Like, it's baby steps. They did something this year to spice it up, and they've been talking about it all year how they wanted to make it more competitive. And like, I'm in. I want to see it. I think I'm gonna give them a chance.
Well, yeah, I think televising the draft is an absolute must. I mean, that process, you know, it's going to be funny seeing, you know, guys pick former teammates or picking, you know, rivals or whatever. And it's just something that the NBA is going to have to do. It's going to be too much fun for them to pass up.
I don't really think it's going to make it any more competitive. I don't think I really want it to be, because I mean, I hate watching it, but I'd hate it even more if people are trying hard and getting hurt. I'm fine with it just being a layup line.
Anti that. You can get hurt playing a local pickup game. Like, these guys play basketball all the time. Like if they get hurt on TV, it's the only difference is they got hurt on TV. It could have happened.
Well, they'd be hurt in a pointless game.
But it could have happened in a practice. It could have happened like while they're working out with their trainer. It could have happened in a summer league game. Like, this idea that playing hard in the All-Star game is somehow more, you know, risk preventive. Like, I'm anti that. I think that you can still be competitive and, you know, reduce the risk. Like, it's not like you're substantially upping your risk profile by trying hard for one game out of God knows how many they play every year.
It only takes one foot going on, stepping on another foot.
You're boring, man. That's a bad take. I'm anti that. I felt like there was a lot of outrage when Chris Paul didn't make the game. Were you guys upset that Chris Paul didn't make it, or were you guys okay with it? Like, were you just like, whatever?
Well, at the time, 18 games that he missed felt like a lot, but now it's 18 out of what, 56? That's not that much.
Yeah,
it's like 30%.
I think the way that voting went, kind of, you know, everything feels so off with time this season. It's like the season started earlier and the All-Star break is later, and just everything feels so weird. And so, yeah, I mean, initially it felt like those games were a lot, but in reality, now that, you know, voting has been over for a few weeks and Chris Paul's been playing the entire time, you know, it kind of seems a little bit off. But I mean, he was probably the next guy in, so it's not like he was off the radar at all.
Yeah, I thought it was fine. Like, he missed a lot of games, so I can understand why that might sour some voters. But like, yeah, I mean, like, it's whatever. Like, he probably should have made it over Klay Thompson, but Klay Thompson, it's not like Klay Thompson's having a bad year. Like, he's having a pretty damn good year. I mean, overall, like, I'm more upset that we're still doing the charades with conferences. Like, we're still pretending like both conferences are equal in terms of star power. Like, that's what I'm more upset about. The fact that we do it this way, it's convoluted, it's confusing. If we started the All-Star process to this year, like, if we started doing All-Star games this year, we would not have come up with this process. Like, we started this process, like, through a bunch of tweaks, and we're here now, and it's kind of weird. What really upset me is when we went to the injury reserves, like, I don't understand why Chris Paul wasn't picked then. Like, we're still doing you got to pick an East guy because an East guy got hurt. Like that was what was weird. You didn't necessarily have to pick up Goran Dragic just because you had to pick an East guy. Like, I don't know. That's what really bothered me more than anything. It's just, we're still doing this charade with conferences.
At least it's not like baseball and the All-Star game, you know, used to decide home court in the World Series, or home field in the World Series. Could be a lot worse.
Well, that's what makes him play hard, like Salmon wants.
Listen, man, like, I'm against the idea that one trying for one game, like for 48 minutes, is going to substantially increase their risk profile. Like, they play games that we don't even hear about. Like, they play dark games during the summer. Like, games that the public is not available. Like, some games that are Instagram, that are on Instagram, like, those are the, just the games that we know about. Those, like, there's games that they play in the summer that we never talk, that we never hear about until, like, you know, 3 weeks into the season. Like this idea that what trying for one game is going to, I don't know. I don't see any problem with trying for one game. I'm kind of with Jeff Van Gundy in this. Like, in like, it's easily the most boring event. Like, if they're not trying, if they're not playing defense, like, I'm glad they did this measure, but they definitely could do some other things to tweak this up and make it more intriguing. Like televising the draft, like letting the best 24 guys in, regardless of conference affiliation. So let's go ahead and get to some news. The Rockets signed Joe Johnson and Brandon Wright on the buyout market for vet minimums for the rest of the season. Here's my thing with Joe Johnson. Like, Joe Johnson's fine. Like, he's not the Joe Johnson of old. We know that. He's 36 years old. He's played a ton of minutes. Like, at this point, he's pretty much an injury reserve for the Rockets. And a break in case of Ryan Anderson is trash in the playoffs guy. Like, that's what Joe Johnson is at this point. And Brandon Wright, like, I really believe that the Nene injury in the playoffs, like, I feel like that shook the Rockets to their core. And it was like a big blow to them, because not only was that one guy you weren't playing, you shortened the rotation and you didn't play Montrezl Harrell. Like the Rockets played a 7-man rotation in that game 6. And I feel like that really hurt the Rockets, man. Like, playing Ryan Anderson at center didn't work. Like, it was just bad. Like, and everybody was exhausted. James Harden had to guard Pau Gasol and LaMarcus Aldridge on switches. Like, it was just kind of a disaster. And, like, I feel like the Rockets, like, did everything they could to possibly make sure that doesn't happen again. Like, they have 3 backup centers right now. They have Brandon Wright, Tariq Black, and Nene. Like, that's kind of crazy.
I think that Brandon Wright is more Capella insurance than Nene insurance. Because when Capella goes down, they don't have a lob threat kind of guy. Everything's a bounce pass to Tariq or Nene. They don't have the lob radius. And that messes up a lot of their vertical spacing. But if Nene gets hurt, then they have someone to replace him as the big, someone to put on like a Steven Adams that's going to muscle Clint. That's not Brandon Wright. So if Nene goes down, that's when Tariq Black is going to come in and fill up those minutes instead of...
Yeah, I feel like the Rockets are trying to be as redundant as possible at pretty much every position. Kind of like, you know, the front office said in the preseason that, you know, they want an all-star point guard on the court for 48 minutes. And, you know, now they've got 3 interchangeable power forwards, and then you throw in small forwards, and then you throw in Gerald Green, you throw in Joe Johnson. And then you look at the front court, and you've got, you know, basically 2 lob threats and 2 more, I guess, shifty guys. And it just seems like the Rockets want to be super redundant and be able to fill those holes with pretty much as close to the same thing as possible.
Yeah. I mean, my biggest takeaway for me, like, I'm a big fan of how the Rockets played this, in that we talked about at the beginning of the season how the Rockets were really weak in their 9 through 12 rotation. Like, their top 9 guys were awesome. Like, they were really good, primed for the playoffs. But after that, there was a big drop-off. And I'm a big fan of how the Rockets played this. They picked up guys throughout the year. Gerald Green, Brandon Wright, Joe Johnson, to ensure...
Did you know that Gerald Green was sitting on his couch, playing with his dog, shooting a basketball to
his
driveway?
No, I didn't know that, man. That's by far the first time I've heard it this season. Man. Like, what is it with broadcasts, man? It was like this 2 years ago when the Rockets picked up Josh Smith, and they talked about how Dwight Howard and Josh Smith were AAU teammates, like, every game. Like,
oh, man, it was like a drinking game.
Yeah, it wasn't just the national guys. Like, the local guys said it over again. Like, Bill, we know this. Like, we know that, like, you said it already, like, on 40 broadcasts. Like,
it's, that may have been a little bit of Bill going senile, but, you know, we'll give him the pass on that one.
First right. overall pick, Bill Worrell.
God. The Rockets home announcing crew is just awful. It's awful. Like, I can't listen to them anymore. It's like I'm forced to listen to them because I can't listen to the game quiet. But I mean, like, I'd rather listen to the road broadcast any day of the week. They're just man.
Craig is great.
Craig is a breath of fresh air in what is otherwise like a miserable broadcast crew. It's just like the homerism is just like they go to like elite levels, complaining on fouls every other call, bringing up Hakeem goddamn like 10 times a game. Like, I feel like they tell the same Hakeem stories every single game. And like I get it, like Hakeem was a central figure in this Rockets franchise, but god man, like can't you like look up stuff on this other team, like find some notes? Like that's what other color broadcasts do. They find notes on the other team's best players or even like their rotation guys, and they tell you interesting stuff about them. Like, why can't they do that? Like, they just talk about their own guys over and over again and complain about officiating. I don't know. I'm getting off on a tangent, but I mean, it's gotten to be really ridiculous. It's gotten to be really, really ridiculous.
Yeah, I could certainly use some refreshing.
Yeah, but again, like to get back to what we were talking about, I'm a big fan of how they played this. They didn't give up any resources, and they fixed the end of their bench. And so if there is an injury, like they can survive it now. Like maybe they obviously can't survive an injury to like Chris Paul, James Harden, or Clint Capela. But I mean, beyond that, they can survive like a Trevor Ariza injury or like a Ryan Anderson injury, right? Like they're much better equipped to survive that stuff than they were like 20 games ago.
Yeah, I guess I still would have liked some sort of guard. I guess Joe Johnson, you know, is a smart, savvy guy, but you know, if James or Chris get hurt, it's going to be so bad. I mean, because you've seen Eric Gordon try to run the offense, and it's not consistent. It's not sustainable. And whenever, you know, neither of those guys are on the court, it turns into a whole lot of, you know, 30-foot pull-up jump shots, and it's just not pretty. But other than that, I mean, aside from one of those guys getting hurt, the Rockets are in extremely good shape.
Well, I don't know how sustainable it is, but the Eric Gordon at point guard lineups are like a plus 12 on the season, something like that. It looks ugly, but it's been working so far. So maybe they were banking on that continuing and just said, we'll play him at point guard with Joe Johnson and another wing and get our creation that way.
Joe Johnson played 31 minutes in his first game.
It kind of hurt me.
Yeah, I mean, I think the Rockets thought that, you know, whatever guard we pick up, he's going to be pretty much useless in a Warriors series, right? Like, I think their thought process was, we'd rather have a bunch of switchable, you know, wings than having a redundant guard that probably isn't going to play that much, right? Like if they got a fourth guard, like, they probably wouldn't play that much in the postseason. Like, I think they were looking at moves that, you know, guys who you could realistically say, you know, see getting minutes in the playoffs. Like, I think that was a big thing with Mike D'Antoni last year. Like, he just didn't trust Montrezl Harrell, like, when Nene went down. Like, he just would not play him when that injury happened. And I think, like, now the Rockets have, like, two veteran backup centers. And if Mike D'Antoni doesn't want to play Tariq Black, well, look, you got Brandon Wright, who's a 28-year-old, like, I think he's 29. Like, he's a 29-year-old backup center who could, you know, give you good minutes instead of, you know, leaning on your young guys. I think they were looking at these signings as, you know, possible playoff guys. And, you know, like, from that aspect, I think they did pretty well. And my favorite part of this is that they didn't give a pick, because these picks are going to be really, really key to the offseason. Like, they are, you know, they gave up this year's pick, and, you know, in the Chris Paul trade, and they gave up, they're running low on picks, right? And maintaining as many of them as you can to, you know, possibly, use in, you know, big trades in the summer, I think that's key. Because, like, let's say you, you know, the big talk this summer is, you know, the Rockets' pursuit of LeBron James, right? And let's say you find a taker for Ryan Anderson. Well, you're going to have to attach a pick for that. And if the Rockets gave up a pick at this deadline, like, that would have been a disaster. Like, you'd be reaching for second rounders to attach, right? And I think the Rockets played this correctly. You know, not you pretty much just gave up cash to upgrade the end of your bench. I think that's the right way to do it.
Yeah, if they would have traded their first this year, I think the next one they'd be able to trade would be 2021.
Right. The Stepien rule prevents you from trading back-to-back picks, or and then you can't trade. Like, I think the way the Rockets did it this summer is, like, the Chris Paul trade happened because was able to happen because the trade was incoming. I mean, the pick was incoming, and the Rockets...
It's because once the last draft happens,
right?
You could that pick it no longer counts. So since they traded 2018 after the 2017 after the 2017 draft, that pick, the considerations for that pick are gone. It's right. Just two in the future. So they were able to trade 2019.
Right.
So they could trade next year's pick. Right now they can't, but after this draft they can trade next year's pick.
Right. Yeah. I mean, like, yeah. So I'm a fan of how they played this. Like, keeping your picks in favor of seeing what you're going to do in the offseason. Maybe you can get a young player. Maybe you can trade that pick. Like, I'm a fan of that. Let's go ahead and get to questions. We got a couple questions on Twitter, mostly through email, though. So we got a question about Chris Bosh. Chances Chris Bosh ends up in a Rockets uniform. This is from J Jane at JJums99 on Twitter. Slim to none. Like, I honestly don't believe Chris Bosh is going to end up on an NBA roster. Like, that's just too big a risk. Like, I think the Rockets and other teams are going to stay as far away from this as they possibly can. That's just, like, it's scary, man. Like, it's blood clots. Like, these are, like, life-threatening. This is life-threatening stuff. Like, I know Chris Bosh really wants to come back, and he feels like he's fine. I don't think any NBA team is going to clear him.
Yeah, I agree. No one wants anything to happen on the floor on their watch. I don't think there's any chance he comes back.
The only thing that I could see is like a farewell type of thing in Toronto, but no team wants to take the chance of putting that guy out on the court and something happening and, you know, staining their reputation or their reputability or anything like that. So I don't think he's going to end up anywhere.
Right. And like, you know, it's been a while since Chris Bosh has played basketball, and I'm not saying he, you know, like, in a normal circumstance, I could totally see a team taking a flyer on him. Like Minnesota took a flyer on Brandon Roy, right? Like, it's not out of the question that a team would normally take a flyer on him. This health stuff is what holds people back, right? Like, Emeka Okafor made it back into the league this year, right? Like, it's not out of the... You could totally see a team trying Chris Bosh out to see if he can give him good minutes, right? But like, the health stuff is just too scary. Like, it's just nobody, as you guys said, nobody wants that on their watch. Nobody wants it. Looks really bad to take a risk on that kind of stuff, unless you can get a medical clearance from your team doctors and Chris's doctors that everything will be fine. I don't see Chris Bosh ending up in the NBA anytime soon. So let's go ahead and get to Twitter questions again. At Nav Kumar, Naveen Kumar on Twitter. What's this about Houston fans getting all bent out of shape about what Doug Gottlieb has to say about James Harden? I gotta say, like, I do not pay that much attention to sports talk show hosts. Like Doug Gottlieb, I don't even watch his show.
Especially Doug Gottlieb.
Yeah, like, I don't know what he said about James Harden. And like, I guess he said something disparaging because he asked Naveen to ask us to question us about it. But I mean, I got to say, like, I don't know. I don't know why Rockets fans care so much. Like, honestly, like, there's so many better sources of information. Like, especially now, like, you can listen to podcasts. You can read blogs. You can, like, there are better places to get your information and your commentary on sports talk. Like, I don't know why you would watch television. I don't, maybe that's just me.
So here's the quote, and this is from Kelly Iko, and it says, and this is Doug Gottlieb, have a hard time buying Houston stock. You are what your best player is, and James Harden doesn't believe in defense. CP3 hasn't won, James hasn't won, and that style of basketball hasn't won.
Well, that style of basketball has won.
What is that style of basketball?
I'm guessing fast-paced. Like I'm guessing that's what he's referring to.
They're not. Teams have this conception, this preconception of what the Rockets are, but they're not. They're like, they're 10th in pace, and they're really low in pace on this last 10-game win streak. And they're not like the Steve Nash Suns kind of offense. It's just, we have two of the best one-on-one players in the league, and we're going to get whatever matchup we want. We're going to get your worst defender on James Harden or Chris Paul, and they're going to go at him, and they're going to score every time. That's what they do, but people don't. I don't know. They don't see it that way. But isolation has won many a championships, like literally every single one in the 90s.
Right. I mean, like, I guess the reservation. Well, I mean, first of all, like, you got to look at the source, right? Like, it's. It's not really a credible basketball guy talking here, right? You have to look at that first before anything. But I mean, in general, I think people have reservations about Mike D'Antoni, and I'm guessing that's what he's referring to. Like, that style of basketball doesn't win in the playoffs. Which I mean Mike D'Antoni's had some success in the playoffs. He's made a couple conference finals. Like I don't know.
He lost to Pop a lot. Wow, he must be awful.
Yeah, I mean, I don't know. Like I guess my advice is, like, listen to podcasts, watch The Jump, watch The Starters, like, watch smart NBA television, listen to smart NBA podcasts, read blogs, this is the kind of stuff you have to go to get your information, not sports talk radio, not television. Like, you're not going to get stuff, you're not going to get quality stuff from there. I mean,
yeah, I mean, if you're looking to Skip Bayless or Stephen A. Smith or even Nick Wright to affirm your opinion of a basketball team, you're not doing it right. You should be looking to people that are actually watching the games. I mean, there are hundreds of bloggers on Twitter that also do podcasts that watch pretty much every game on League Pass or, you know, Reddit or whatever, what have you, that have way more qualification to be giving you their opinion on team A or team B. And, you know, Doug Gottlieb is not one of those people.
Right. I mean, you could listen to Matt Moore's podcast, listen to Zach Harper's podcast, listen to, like, you know, every smart NBA guy has a Zach Lowe's podcast. Like,
listen to us.
Yeah, listen to us, right? Like there are a bunch of smart NBA guys out there. You shouldn't be listening to, like, sports talk radio and television. Like, honestly, like, there's, like, two really good, like, basketball television shows out there. That's The Starters, that's The Jump. And that's, after that, beyond that, there's not that much out there to be listening to, honestly. Yeah, I mean, let's go ahead and get to emails. Howard asks, what will it take for you to be out on Ryan Anderson? His contract is bad.
Is that Dwight Howard?
No, I don't know. It just says,
from the grave.
It just says Howard. What will it take for you to be out on Ryan Anderson? His contract is bad, and he's clearly our weakest link come playoff time. Listen, man, like Ryan Anderson's fine. Like, he is probably the worst contract on the books, and he is getting overpaid, and I get that. And against the Warriors, he doesn't offer that much utility. But I mean, against most NBA teams, he's a really useful basketball player. Like, he's like a 40% 3-point shooter, and he's like, well, I'm not sure what he's shooting this year, but he's usually high 30s.
He's like 38%.
Right. Yeah. He's a quality 3-point shooter. He provides immense spacing, and I feel like that's the most underrated thing about Ryan Anderson. And, like, even when he's missing shots, like, defenders still have to guard him. Like, you still have to go. You still have to stick on Ryan Anderson, and that creates so much space for James Harden and Chris Paul to operate, whether it be in pick and roll or isolation. And I feel like that's where his utility comes in. Like, he's fine. He's a fine NBA basketball player. I understand you being upset about the contract, but I mean, like, it's the Rockets. Well, the Rockets had to give him the contract. I mean, it was 2016. Like, the market was kind of crazy, and the Rockets had to overpay for quality role players to get back to being a respectable contender in the West. Like,
it's not like the Rockets knew that the Cavs were going to blow up and that Chris Paul was going to come, you know, when they signed that deal, and they were going to have a chance to get LeBron this summer. I mean, they just didn't know those things, and they were just doing what they needed to. And not to mention, you know, Ryan Anderson's been playing a lot with the bench lately.
He's been playing well lately.
His last 10 games, he's shooting 48% from three on 5 attempts a game. He's a plus 6.97 basically in that time. I mean, I don't know what more you really want at this point.
It's pretty good. I mean, I guess people view me as like a Ryan Anderson defender, and I guess that's what Howard's referring to here. But I mean, like, he's a quality basketball player, man. Like, he's not a scrub, right? Like, he may not provide that much usefulness in the playoffs against like a Warriors or a Cavs, but I mean, like, that's why you have PJ Tucker. That's why you have Joe Johnson. That's why you have all these other guys, like, you know, Luke Mbamute, Trevor Ariza. That's why you have all these other guys.
You sign guys like this, especially like Ryan Anderson, to have a game where he scores 35 points or 30 points or whatever, and hits, you know, 8 of 10 threes. You sign him for those type of games, and those are the type of games that, you know, against any good playoff team, wins you a game.
If they don't sign Ryan Anderson, I've seen a lot of people complain about Morey giving him that deal, but if you don't sign Ryan Anderson, you don't end up with Chris Paul. Like, he was huge last season for them getting overachieving and getting 55 wins, and they don't get 55 wins. Chris Paul's not looking to come to Houston. He's built some clout.
Right, yeah. He was a big part in the uplift of this organization. Man, this organization looked dead and out, like, 2 years ago. I feel like Rockets fans have forgot about that. Like, it took a lot for the Rockets to be where they are right now. Like, it took overpaying guys, and it took building some credibility among, you know, contenders and you know, really good players in the NBA, like, to really get where they are right now. And like, I feel like you had to give these contracts out, and the market was totally different in 2016. Like, people thought the cap was going to go up again. Like, if you guys remember, the projections were like 108 million, right? Like, am I right, Kyle?
Yeah, it was higher, and then for the next this season, what messed it up was the really short playoffs, and they had less playoff revenue.
Right.
And so that ruined everyone's plans this season. But there might be another spike soon if they're trying to pass betting.
Right, yeah.
Gambling, yeah. And that would make the cap spike again. And then maybe Ryan Anderson's deal won't look so bad.
Right.
We'll see. And I mean, you know, a few years ago, you have contracts like Omer Asik and Jeremy Lin.
Luol Deng.
Yeah. And
Joakim Noah.
Comparing those
Evan
type
Turner.
Of players.
Mozgov.
Exactly. And you're comparing those type of players now to somebody like Ryan Anderson. Ryan Anderson is still a guy that's going to get, you know, like, very big minutes in the playoffs and be a contributor. Those other guys, those are not playoff, you know, caliber players at this point.
They're not even regular season players, most of those that he listed.
Exactly. And so while his contract might not be, you know, I mean, yeah, he's making $20 million, but at the same time, so are guys like Alan Crabb. I mean, it's a bad contract, yeah, but it's not that bad.
Jan Mahimi.
It could be a lot worse.
Jan Mahimi. Yeah. God, man, there were so many bad contracts in 2016, man. God, like, you go down a rabbit hole and you look at all the contracts signed, and like, half of them look terrible.
Like, of the bad contracts, Ryan Anderson is probably the best.
Right. Like, he's probably the worst contract on the books for the Rockets, and he's fine. Like, he's, like, in comparison to everything else that was done that summer, and
Chandler Parsons.
Right.
Forgot about that one.
Chandler Parsons, like, what the hell happened to him, man? Like, the guy's getting DNP CDs. Like, he's just became, like, a bad basketball player out of nowhere. I mean, well, no, I shouldn't say out of nowhere. His injuries obviously had to do a lot with it, but I mean, there are worse contracts out there. Like, you guys, like, Howard, like, I'm not caping for Ryan Anderson by any means, but he's fine in comparison to a lot of other NBA contracts, and he's he's just fine. Like he's an okay player. I don't understand why Rockets fans kill this guy every other day on Twitter. I don't understand it. Eric from Austin wants to know, with how good he's been this year, are you worried about the type of contract Clint Capela would demand this summer? I gotta say, before I was, and now, the way Clint Capela has played these past 10 games or so, the guy looks freaking amazing. He's gonna earn every bit of money he gets this summer. I'm not sure if he's worthy of a max. He's probably not. But if he gets $15 to $20 million per year, that's about market value. I think that's fine. And a lot of people theorize, including you, Kyle, that the market's gonna be dried up for centers, right? Because you got DeMarcus Cousins, you got a lot of quality centers out there. DeAndre Jordan. You have a lot of quality centers hitting free agency at this time. Everybody's got a center, and cap space is few and far between. So there's some speculation out there that he may not get the contract that we think he might get. Right? I still think he's gonna get at least 15 mil per year, and if Morey can get him for 12, that's a huge win. But I mean, I still think he's probably gonna demand at least 15 mil per year, and I think that's fine. He's played himself into becoming a franchise quality center. He's probably the center of the future for the Rockets. I don't see how they could possibly upgrade that position. And he's so essential to what the Rockets do, pick and roll wise and defensively wise, in terms of switching everything. He's really valuable. I think, especially with restricted free agency and the Rockets having the ability to match anything, I think I'd be okay with what he gets this summer. I was worried before, but I'm not as worried now.
Yeah, if this was 2016, then he might have found a max somewhere. But there's no way he finds that now. There's three teams with space that could use a center, and I don't think any of them are offering him a max. But and then, like you said, there's a lot of other centers. Why would you chase Clint Capela knowing that the Rockets are going to match if you can get Nerlens Noel on a minimum?
Yeah, and I mean, the Rockets are without a doubt going to match. I mean, because you got to think their cap options would be limited otherwise. And so it makes all the sense in the world for them to match whatever the offer is. And I do think that it will probably be more than $15 million a year. It's probably going to come from the damn Mavericks again.
Yep, that's what I was thinking too.
It's the Mavericks or the Lakers. If the Lakers strike out on LeBron this summer, they're totally going to give a max contract to Clint Capela.
I think they'd rather keep the powder dry and try again in 2019.
Are we sure, man? This is the biggest, Lakers.
The biggest concerns to me are the Mavericks and the Suns.
I mean the Suns. Yeah, I could see that. I could totally see that actually. But yeah. I think he's going to get a big contract this summer. I don't think it's, I don't think it's unwarranted. That's what I'll say.
Yeah, 15 would be a steal, but I think not sure if he'll hit 20, but I think he'll get over 15.
Yeah. Ethan asks, are you okay with the Rockets moving Ryan Anderson to the bench in favor of PJ Tucker? I gotta see a few more games of this because the Rockets have kind of looked a little slow in the beginning of games to me. I'm not sure if you guys have felt the same way, but this is probably what they're going to play in the playoffs. This is probably going to be their starting unit against the Warriors, right? I think they're kind of bracing themselves for that. It's going to be hard to see for me to see him playing major minutes against the best teams in the league. So I could totally see why they're kind of preparing for that. But I mean, if you want to keep Ryan Anderson's value high, you would think feeding him minutes and letting him play with the starters would be a good way to, perhaps if you want to offload his contract this summer, you could sell that, oh, he was a starter for us all year and he gave us good minutes. You could make a case there when you're trying to sell him to other teams. But PJ Tucker is a really, he makes that Rockets defensive unit a lot better. So I see why the Rockets are doing it. I want to see a few more games of this before I make a real, indictment on this, a real judgment on this, I feel like the sample size is too small for me to lean one way or the other. It's fine. It's fine for right now.
I think I like Ryan coming off the bench because maybe not for the regular season, but I like having him lined up with Chris Paul more in the second unit because Chris Paul has been better than James at finding him.
Yeah.
So I like those two being on the court together. And then in the starting lineup, I feel like PJ is he's better at quick decisions. He keeps the ball moving. He doesn't hold on to it. It's either he's going to shoot it or he's going to move it to the next guy. With Ryan, he's been a little hesitant to shoot. PJ Tucker's been more willing to jack up threes than Ryan Anderson for some reason. And when he hesitates to shoot, then he just doesn't know what to do. He'll hold on to the ball for a little bit, look around, and then make the pass, or he'll try and go for a little step back Dirk that hasn't been going for him that much lately. So with the starting lineup, I think that PJ, he's not as good of an offensive player, but he fits a little bit better.
Yeah. The spacing isn't as great, obviously, because defenders respect Ryan Anderson a lot better than they do PJ Tucker. But, pairing Ryan Anderson with Chris Paul makes a lot of sense to me. Like, I could see the rationale on that. I mean, the reason they brought him back off the bench was because he was coming back from an ankle injury. So we still don't know if this is a permanent thing, right? Like, they could go back to it after the All-Star break, their original starting unit. But, I mean, in the playoffs, this is totally what they're going to do. Like, they're going to scrap Ryan Anderson from the starting unit against the Warriors. Like, he's going to be too unplayable. Like, they're going to search him out on pick and roll every single time. I could see why they're getting... Maybe they're just getting some minutes up right now. Like, maybe they're preparing for that, mix some things up right now. We don't know. Like,
that was kind of my thinking, is that they know their game plan for the Warriors. And this is kind of just a little bit of early practice for that, because, I mean, even beyond just pairing him with Chris Paul, you got to think of who he's matched up with if he's playing center against the bench units. And at this point, everything that the Rockets do is a direct response to the Warriors. So anything that they're practicing or they're trying out right now is because it's what they're thinking, you know, that they're going to be using in the playoffs against the Warriors. So I think that, you know, Ryan Anderson, especially in that series, coming off the bench, will be way more valuable than he would be starting. You don't want him, you know, going against somebody like Draymond or even, you know, Zaza, because he's either going to get, you know, out-defensed or out-rebounded. And it's just not a good matchup for him with the starting unit against the Warriors.
Josiah wants to know, the Rockets have home court advantage now. Do you think that really matters in a matchup against the Warriors? Josiah, let me know if I pronounce your name right, because I read that and it was really hard for me to really make the distinction. I think I'm saying it right. I think the biggest part of them getting the one seed right now is mainly like that they're really hungry. Like they just seem like more hungry than the Warriors at this moment. Like the Warriors seem really laxed, and like they're kind of going through the motions right now. Like Steve Kerr had Iguodala and Draymond coaching timeouts the other day. Like I just feel like they're really bored. Like I feel like they're just finding things to do at this moment, and the Rockets are like really, really like motivated. They're really self-motivated. Like, they're on pace for 63 wins. This is, like, the eighth best defense in the NBA, according to cleantheglass.com. And they're the greatest offense in NBA history, according to Basketball Reference. Like, they're really freaking good right now. They've won 10 games in a row. Like, they just seem to be on their A game. I think getting the first seed is more of an indictment of how good they've been this season than, like, how much home court advantage is going to... Like, in all honesty, to answer your question... I'm not sure how much of a difference home court advantage makes in a series against the Warriors. I would guess it's probably more favorable to go into the Toyota Center in a Game 7 situation than it would be Oracle Arena. But honestly, like, it's not like the Rockets have had crazy good home crowds. Like, it's not like the Rockets gave out like $1 hot dogs in last year's playoffs. Like, it's not like home court advantage is a huge advantage for the Rockets. I think it's more not playing at Oracle Arena. That's the advantage.
Yeah, and then there's also matchups. If the Spurs hang on at 3 and Kawhi comes back sometime ever, then I'd rather play whoever comes out of the 4 or 5 than the 3-6 in the second round.
Yeah, I definitely think that the easiest path that the Rockets can take is certainly something that they're thinking about. They don't want to play, you know, I mean, not that they're necessarily scared or anything like that, but they don't want to play OKC if they don't have to. They don't want to play, you know, San Antonio if they don't have to. You know, it's as far as home court advantage against the Warriors, I mean, it matters, but it's such a menial difference that at that point, you know, those two teams are so damn good that it probably won't make much of a difference either way.
Right. Like, I think it makes like a small difference. Like I was saying, the game 7 thing, like that might be like you'd rather be in your own building for that. But I mean, like, the Rockets are so far away from that. Like, they getting the one seed is probably just an accomplishment. Like, they wanted this one seed. Like, the Rockets were totally watching that Portland Golden State game. Like, everybody in the organization, I 100% believe that. Like, Daryl was definitely watching that game. He tweeted after the game, hashtag Rip City. Like everybody, like, I feel like James Harden was watching that game. I feel like Chris Paul was watching that game. Clint Capella was watching that game. Like, I'm convinced that they wanted that one seed more than anything. Like, they definitely wanted it. They definitely wanted home court advantage. As far as how much of a difference it makes, you know, it's, we don't know. We won't know until the playoffs. But I gotta say, at this point, they should be locks to make the conference finals. Like, that should be their expectation. And that's a good thing. It's a good thing that we have such high expectations for them. They've been that good. They've been so good that anything less than that in a competitive series with the Warriors is a disappointment. Like, I think that's fair. Like, they've earned that from us, that anything less than conference finals is a disappointment. And I think getting the one seed is just something they wanted all year that they got. Like, God knows if they're going to hold on to it. Like, the Warriors have a pretty easy schedule here on out, and the Rockets have 3 more road trips before the end of the season and, like, a couple more back-to-backs. But, I mean, for right now, going into the All-Star break, I mean, it feels pretty good to say that you're the best team in the NBA for 8 days. Or however long this lasts.
Yeah, I think that they are kind of sitting pretty right now, and you know, they feel good about themselves, and that's probably, you know, a big motivating factor for them going into the playoffs. And I think that if they were able to hold that number one seed into the playoffs, it would be that much more of a motivation factor for them to validate themselves, you know, in some way, because everybody's been saying that, you know, the NBA is a wash at this point, you know, and I guess the Rockets have something to say about that.
Yeah, I mean, like, I think the NBA is, like, much more interesting this year than I thought it would be. I gotta admit, like, I thought the Rockets, like, their goals of matching up the Warriors, it felt very out there at the beginning of the season. But the more and more that I watch this team, man, this team is just ridiculous. Like, I didn't expect it. I didn't expect this team to be this good at this point in the season. Like, and I thought they'd be awesome. Like, I thought they'd be 54 wins. I thought by this point, the Harden and Chris Paul pairing would have figured it out by now. And I thought, like, going into the playoffs, it'd be that much more deadlier. But the 8th best defense in the NBA is kind of crazy to me. I did not expect them to make that much of a leap on that end of the floor. And having the greatest offense of all time, like, you know, that may not last that long. You know, we still have 25 games left, but the fact that they've been that good offensively, playing mostly isolation, which has been a big surprise to me, that they've been so good in isolation this year, it's huge. It's huge. And last question, and we'll end on this. Okay, Richard wants to know if we've seen the MVP straw poll by Tim Bontemps, and if it makes us feel better about Harden winning the award at the end of the year. Yeah, I've seen it. I gotta say, like, I'm not Like, I'm at that point where I'll believe it when I see it. Like, when the award is in James Harden's hands, that's when I'll actually believe it. Like, Harden lost the award last year on a two-week stretch where he hurt his left wrist, and Russell Westbrook kind of went on a tear, and he hit that game winner in Denver. And, like, voters can change their minds so quickly. And I feel like a narrative can shape in, like, such a short amount of time. I'm not saying anything is a lock at this point. Like, even though he got 91 first-place votes in this straw poll, like, I'm so skeptical. Like, I found tweets from myself in March of last year saying I feel like Harden's, like, separated himself from the tide. Like, that was March. It's February right now. It's still way too early to make any sort of declaration on this race. I think there could be a narrative forming that LeBron's turned the Cavs season around and he's putting up crazy numbers and, like, you know, like, I'm open to anything. I'm at the point where I gotta see it in his hands before I feel confident that he's won the award.
I thought I was the boring one.
I mean, like, listen to me, man. Like, I'm at that point. If the Rockets announce that James Harden's won the MVP, I won't believe it. Like, because, like, I just feel like he's lost the award on these end of the year runs where, like, you know. People don't want him to win this award. Like,
but last year it was, people were talking about it the whole time because it was so close. But this year, no one's been talking about the MVP race because there's no one there except for James.
But like, the fact that nobody's talking about the MVP award is concerning to me.
Like, they're not talking about it because what is there to talk about? James Harden.
That James Harden's running away with it. That should be the conversation right now.
That's a boring conversation.
Well. We talked about it for months when Steph was the unanimous MVP. You can't tell me that they wouldn't be talking about it now.
Harden's having the greatest, maybe, don't come in my mentions with anger, maybe the greatest offensive season ever. James Harden's been really good, but he is not.
Well, hold on.
Doing what Steph was doing.
Harden's having an incredible season in his own right. Like 31.8 points per game, 9 assists per game, 6 rebounds per game. And, like, he's lowered his turnovers. He's shooting, like, a ridiculous percentage from three. I never thought he'd become this great of a three-point shooter. Like, he's having a historic offensive season in his own right.
I don't think that it'll be... We don't want... I don't know. I think he has too much of a lead to lose it right now.
So am I the tiebreaker?
Hmm? Yeah. Yeah, it's all you. It's all on you. No pressure, but agree with me.
Do you feel like he's run away with it?
I feel like that with only 25 games left, it would be really difficult for somebody else to come in and take that away. I mean, the Rockets would have to have some sort of collapse or something, because I don't see this type of play slowing down from James. It would have to be like the Cavs winning, you know, like 19 of their next 25 games.
I could totally see that. I could totally see that.
It would have to be something outrageous for James to get stripped of the lead that he has right now.
All I'm saying is I've seen this movie before. That's all I'm saying. Like, we were talking about this in March, about him running away with this. And then he separated, like, I mean, Russell Westbrook separated from him in 2 weeks. All it took was 2 weeks.
That was close the entire time. That's not fair. That's not a fair comparison.
Yeah, I mean, I feel like that race was a lot closer than anything this year. I mean, the fact that you can't really name a number two, like, you could debate, I guess, a number two, but you can't definitively name one and two or 1A and 1B like you could last year. You can't just say, oh, you know, it's definitively LeBron, or it's definitively Steph, or it's, you know, this guy or that guy or whoever, Giannis.
DeMar DeRozan might be third. There's not a whole lot of other candidates this year.
And, exactly. And I feel like that at this point, it is too big of a lead and not enough time left because of when the All-Star break came.
It's not big enough for me, man. Like, it'll never be big enough. Like, I'm going to wait till June 25th when they're giving the awards out. Like, even if like Dream Shake does another one of those, you know, or they ask everybody who they voted for, and they figure out Harden's running away with it. Like, even if they do that, like I'm just like, listen, like I gotta see it in his hands. Like I've been burnt before by this. Like I'm too cynical about this. When it comes to James Harden and anything related with voting, not just the MVP, anything related with voting, like the fact that he missed the All NBA team in 2015 is still, I think it was 2016, is still kind of incredible to me. Like that to me is what's made me cynical about voters and Harden ever since. Like I just don't think he'll ever curry enough favor to be unanimous about anything, much less the MVP.
Ye of little faith.
Yeah, I guess we can end on that. I mean, it's getting pretty late. I don't want Taylor to fall asleep on the podcast. Subscribe to the podcast on iTunes, Google Play, and Stitcher. Well, we fixed our Google Play link, so if you have had trouble with that in the past, it's working now. Our Stitcher link is working now. Our iTunes link has always been working. Give us a good rating on iTunes. Give us 5 stars if you enjoyed the show. It helps other people find the show. Follow us on Twitter at Red Nation Hoops, at Taylor L. Pate, and at whatever the hell Kyle's Twitter handle is.
K-Chile.
K-Chile what?
22.
K-Chile 22. See, you gotta make it so... You gotta change that. You have to change that.
But, I'll think about it. Just for you. Just for all the people out there. This is for you, the people.
Yeah.
Kyle is nothing if he's not a man of the people.
Exactly. Okay, so it's K-Chile 22...
With an underscore thrown in there somewhere.
God damn it, man. You gotta be difficult about this. You gotta change it like change it right now. I'm not gonna end the podcast till you change your at.
I'll take a vote. I'll let you know how it turns out.
A vote amongst who? Pardon? Your followers?
That's my cats. They'll let me know.
Alright. Yeah. Thanks, guys.